Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
John Keeler, it's time. It's that time of week already for Keeling Me Softly, Mr. Keeler from the Denver Post. And Sean, I'm seeing trades like crazy in the NBA, and I just keep looking for one name. That's one name, and that is Zeke Nnaji. Is anybody going to take on that measly $7 million, whatever it is, contract?
Not at full price. It's like the same song, different verse, right? Every year about this time, I get, you know, especially with Calvin Booth, to be fair, Nuggets fans going, do something, do anything. But I'm like, nobody wants that contract. But I didn't think anybody wanted the MPJ contract either, right? So, you know, there's a line, I know I get meandering with this. Do you remember Skip Prosser, the Xavier basketball coach, Virginia?
Yeah, I covered him,
you know, about 30 pounds ago I covered him, right? Great guy. I'm a desperate mid-20-something bachelor and talking to him in practice about something or other, and he looks at me and he says, Sean, partnerships, dating, it's like a shoe store. There's a – he waved his hand. This is a little Irish guy. He goes, there's a fit for everybody. So I say that because, yeah, I mean, someone could use Zeke Nnaji. I just don't think they can at that price point. The other emails I'm getting are, you know, trade Cam Johnson. And I'm like, he hurts. Like,
yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to take that on. So, you know, it is that time of year, but I think it's tricky because I don't think you can, because a lot of those contracts, you're going to get what you want. Back.
Well, and Sean, and I'm getting texters about Christian Brown. Like, you can't trade him because you can't trade him until after 6 months of the contract extension, right? Which this would not be 6 months.
No, it would not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're all there, but life does not work like, you know, the PlayStation. Like, we want what we want to do and make this work. It doesn't always land. And the thing that you always have to understand when it's your team is when you're thinking about trades, and most fans do this, but there's some who don't, you have to think about what the other side wants. And, like, always ask yourself when you're trying to propose these, don't just go, now that everyone's got a trade machine or the ESPN trade machine, we go, well, this must be it. If you make the numbers work, which, to be fair, in the NBA is kind of a skill into itself because of the way the calculus of the CBA and who you can keep and what apron are you on. You know, you see the computer do it, and this is, we're all guilty of this. You see, because I do this with baseball all the time, and I have to stop. You see the computer do it. You think if I could line it up with the AI and get the AI to agree to it, there's no reason it can't happen because the AI said I could do it and make the math work. Just because you can make the math work on a trade simulator does not mean that some front office and some coaching staff think it's a great idea. And that sounds like common sense, but now because everyone can use a trade simulator and we almost need one to figure out the various levels of the NBA because it's the hardest contract-to-contract CBA that you have to deal with. We go, well, I made it work on the calculator. Surely it can go through. I wish it were that simple. I really, really
do. Dude, Sean, we even tried, because, you know, with the Michael Porter Jr. thing over the offseason, we even tried to, like, put that in before it was, like, official, so all the rosters were still showing the same. We still couldn't. It still denied us. I don't know what we were doing wrong, but it still denied it. So I don't know how you general manage in the world today, because the aprons, the second apron, I mean, that stuff is really confusing.
And that's what impressed me about what Tenzer and Wallace did in the summer, in the opening of free agency. I mean, we go back to it, and people will debate, and they shouldn't, whether this was a good idea or not. I think it was a good idea. Everything that happened after the MPJ trade, stuff that opened up after the MPJ trade, was probably about as good as you were going to get. And if you don't like that and you'd rather have Michael there, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but given how this season has gone, you probably wouldn't. But I don't know that you can do much on the other side of that, given the health of the guys you want to move. And in the case of Zeke, the contract. I mean, it's the gift from Calvin Booth that kind of keeps on giving, and you wish you could give it to somebody else, but you probably can't.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. And, you know, on the Nuggets, and I know you put this piece together after the OKC game, and I loved it. Nuggets got cute. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kayson Wallace, Thunder punched them in the mouth. That was a tough one to take, Sean, because you see Joker come back on Friday against the Clippers, and you're like, whoa. The Clippers were hot at that time. I don't know if they knew James Harden was wanting out at that time or what it was, but they were still
not wanting out.
Yeah, right. They were hot. So you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a tough one. Nuggets beat them. Joker looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the Thunder, they're down. Nuggets are still down a lot. They're still trying to work Joker back into it. But how does that game, that one game, and I just saw news about Shai, sounds like he's going to be out for a while. How does that one game make you feel about potentially the Nuggets in the playoffs? Or should we throw that one out because both teams were missing dudes?
I think you can throw it out a little bit, given the personnel losses, but you can't throw it out completely. Because both teams had personnel loss. Like, they were both down, like, two or three guys each, right? So you're both fighting with one arm, okay? Well, they were still better with one arm than you. And more concerning, and you got a little more of this last night, because now you've had back-to-back title contenders, you know, home and road, and you go to Detroit, and you've had Detroit twice in, what, 6 days, 7 days? Hackett Joker still works, and putting smaller guys, I mean, we want to make it seem like it's that simple, because if it was, everybody would do it. Not everybody can, but it sure seems like OKC has figured out how to defend the best player on the planet. I mean, they are Joker kryptonite, and that's not good when they're A in your, you know, in your division, and B in your conference, and they're the only thing keeping you from getting back to where you want to be. So they just keep throwing waves of smaller guys at him and dare them to call fouls. They cloud squinting. They cloud NBA referees. It's like a mental thing with the Thunder. They cloud NBA referees' minds with fouls. Like, should we call foul here? If we foul on every play, they can't count. They can't surely call them all. And the fact that it's early, but the fact that he looked as discombobulated as he did Sunday night without Alex Caruso there, it's not a red flag, but it's an orange one. How's that? Yellow? It's a yellow? You kind of go, clearly schematically we need to think about this thing. So, I mean, the good news is you've got, what, three more games with him? Or maybe the bad news. But you've got time to start setting up the chess pieces for what you hope is the inevitable rematch when it counts. But it was not a good – if that's a game one of four, it was not a good game one. It was not ideal.
No, and we'll see. Obviously, kind of, you know, last night was kind of rough too. Although Denver, they made it interesting, you know, against with their guys or without their guys, like they did against Detroit the last time around. They made it interesting, couldn't pull it off. In your mind, though, on the trade deadline, are we going to be talking about the Nuggets making any moves? Mainly just to unload some contracts, but do you see anything getting done outside of Zeke Nnaji?
I think it would be unlikely because what they want to get back. Because the other thing we saw from clearly the last two games and the takeaway is you need somebody who punches back, and you need an enforcer. I don't think Bruce Brown isn't, let's just be real about this, isn't 2022 Bruce Brown. I mean, he's perfectly fine and fits what they do, but they're not pesky. They're not nasty. And Gordon, for as nice a guy as he is, ironically, gives them that. Brown, when he's right, gives them that. I don't think he was right last night. But I don't think you're going to find that on the open market. Somebody sent me a note saying, well, why don't they he said Zeke and Peyton Watson for a Draymond Green. And I went, well, if you could make the money work, I'm not sure. Again, I've run that through the simulator for the math. I'm not sure the math lines up, A, because they really are scared of that second apron. Two, again, who, I mean, you do want Peyton Watson. There's somebody people would want if you think he's not part of your long-term plans. But are you going to get a Hall of Famer back for that? Even tail end of his career, Hall of Famer? I mean, someone like that. A Draymond Green type would be good for the Nuggets. Are you going to get Draymond Green in this window? I doubt it. I just wouldn't get too excited about that. But
that's a fascinating
contract. Who are we to say never? If you get that contract, maybe you're really at that point though. You are really, really pushing the chips in. Let's put it this way: if you do that, if you were to make some kind of wacky trade for somebody like Green to get more physical, which would be good for this team, especially if you were in the finals, never mind getting past OKC, if you were in the finals and you see Detroit there, and they get out the broken baseball bats and come after you, you're going to want that. But you do that, I don't know how many chips you have left for 2027 and 2028, et cetera. And maybe you don't care. Maybe that's it. Like, this is the last bit of the last $5 chip you've got. I'm going to throw it out there and make it happen, because you wouldn't have much left in order to make that happen if you did.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post, joining us. What chance of retaining percentage chance do you put, you know, on retaining Peyton Watson, you know, beyond this season?
I'd flip a coin.
That's better than I thought you'd say.
I mean, they just, again, they can't do it with the apron unless they could. And I'm certain of this. I think the timing has been so fortuitous for Watson and his camp that they're looking at they want to get paid. Like, they see this now, and they aren't, I'm not speaking out of turn, they aren't thrilled, sort of like the John Franklin Myers thing with the Broncos. They love being Nuggets, but they're not thrilled that they're the ones that didn't get the Christmas present. You know what I mean? Like, that he didn't get the contract. So you made a choice, and based on the evidence in front of you up to this point, who knew that Watt had, you know, a little George Gervin in it. Suddenly, that's a really old reference. But that said with love, in honor of the ABA documentary that's coming out, like, that he had that kind of scoring potential. He is turning that corner that Calvin Booth and others, much as we kind of, you know, pick on Calvin for that in hindsight, that he's found another level and at the perfect time for his market, but at a tricky time for the Nuggets, where I think they're kind of tapped out, especially with the Joker extension coming, unless Joker would be like, no, I'll take a hometown discount to keep P-Watt. And if anybody would, he would. But I don't think his reps want him doing that either. So I think it's unlikely, but I don't know that unless you've got something really historic to get back, I don't think you're packaging him either, because you don't know what you've got in Aaron Gordon, right? Like, you just don't. You have a spare forward, even if it's a wing slot, you've got starting minutes to give somebody who isn't quite the physical presence that Gordon is, but certainly can give you the scoring surprisingly well that you need. So I'd be shocked if he got moved unless it was something just outrageous. But is he going to be here long term? I don't know. I lean no, but stranger things have happened.
It's amazing to see, honestly, within the last month, really, it's amazing to see his production just increase. And the way he plays, he just looks like a different dude out there. Even shooting free throws, he looks like a different dude.
The confidence, to your point. Like, if you'd have asked us in August, because this was the question over the summer, right? And hindsight is always 20/20. If I'd have done... As you know, I regret most things I do in the moment. I wish I could take them back, some of which get caught on camera. But we all, if we had this discussion, even September, August, you have this slot, X amount of dollars, you can keep Christian Brown or Peyton Watson, but not both. Eleven out of ten of us would have said Brown every time, right? I mean, let's not...
I think so, yeah.
Let's not beat ourselves up or necessarily beat the Nuggets up on that, other than, you know, not figuring out a way to eat that money and push that apron. That's the part where I can't rationalize or explain that from the Kroenke side. you know, it kind of goes back to the Broncos thing. That's where I sense that, that's what the Broncos do better and the Walton Petter group does better than the Cronkies right now, is that they, when they're up against it, they find a way or they just eat it. Literally, in the case of the Russell Wilson contract, we'll just eat it and get right. The Cronkies with the Nuggets have never been that. It's been, this is the budget, this is what we do. And that's cute, but when you suddenly have a superstar explode in like 5 weeks, to your point, like not even at Christmas, we probably didn't know what we had in Watson. What do you do then? And especially if it's sustainable, which it appears to be, we say it's a good problem to have, but unfortunately a problem is still a problem. And when you're in a cap sport, those problems are real. So it's one of those things where you go, oh, great, oh, crap. You know, it's both things out of both sides of your mouth. And that's too bad, because Peyton's a good dude. His camps are, got some good folks in it. And I think they are taking advantage of the moment, but we will see.
Sean Keeler, hey, before I let you go, who you got this weekend? Who's winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, Seattle. I mean, I don't know if they'll kill him. I mean, if it would have been the City Broncos, you still would have kind of leaned Seattle, even in your heart of hearts. If it's Bo Broncos, A, they're winning. B, that's a game. Like, those are the same teams at that point, and that would be a lot of fun. I think the Patriots are just lucky to be there. I think deep down they kind of know it. Vrabel will never say it. Nobody in Boston would dare say it out loud. I think this is found money. I don't think it'll be, 85 Bears against Patriots, but if anybody's more likely to kick the crud out of the other, it's on the Seahawks side. Although we'll see, maybe, in good weather, Drake May, finds another level and they're able to go. But I doubt it. I think Seattle's pretty good and should be pretty comfortable.
Yeah, Alan, if you're getting that quarterback play from Sam Darnold, I mean, my goodness, it's the complete package there in Seattle. Keeler, always appreciate you, my friend. Hey, next week, be ready. We're getting back to rapid fire, and I've got some good ones ready for you next week, so just be ready for
it. I'll get the coffee. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's a special deal. I'll cut out the decaf.
Yes. You got
to just get my phone working for this stupid iPhone update, so I actually hear your call when you ring.
Well, that's now crazy. You've got our number, so you can call us too if we can't. Because Michael was trying back there, and he was panicking. I saw his beady little eyes. He was sweating a little bit, and then you called, and he just, the relief just washed over him.
No, he just doesn't want to play the song.
I called the one time, and I got voicemail, and I was like, yeah, well.
I just don't.
Yeah, forget him.
We love our song. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Always great stuff from you, man. You know I love your stuff. Keep going, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother. Will do. See ya. Bye.
Michael, where did the top half of your head go?
Oh, is it because I'm wearing a camouflage Broncos hat?
I can't tell. Take it off. Let me see. Whoa! There it is. Yeah, you're wearing a camouflage Broncos hat.
Would you be surprised that I have two camouflage Broncos hats?
No. Not much surprises me about you anymore. That's what I've learned.
Would it surprise you that I can bench 450 pounds?
No. I believe you could.
I believe that is a lie.
43 after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.